Dear ones, we had this morning a scripture from the Old Testament, and in the reading of that portion of scripture and having had it expounded unto us, we realize through what had taken place in that time, we see even a fulfillment, really, of what Apostle Paul is really speaking of here about the things that were aforetime written were written for our learning. And how familiar was the reading from the Old Testament to us? I know we heard of Ruth, we heard of Naomi, Boaz, and we've heard those names are very familiar to us, but how familiar was the story to us in its entirety? And how much time do we spend in the scripture? Because if we really consider what Paul is writing here, and this is what kind of brought me to this reading this afternoon, Paul is establishing that whatsoever things were written aforetime, that means the Old Testament, because the New Testament wasn't completed yet. He says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. So, do we have hope? What gives us hope? Well, we see the Word of God. The Word of God, as we read of hope that is in Christ, when that hope is acted upon, dear ones, it brings us a joy. A joy that doesn't matter the circumstances that are all around us, doesn't matter what we are going through, doesn't matter what awaits us tomorrow or what has befallen us today. There's joy because hope brings us joy. And when we have joy, the joy of Christ, the joy of His Word working, as the brother just led us in the prayer of Christ fulfilling things, all things within us, as He is within us, that gives us now an endurance, because we are told and encouraged and written to us to endure to the end. You can't endure to the end if you don't have hope. You can't have hope if you don't know the scripture. So the hope brings us a joy, and that joy gives us an endurance through whatever trials would fall upon us. And that, dear ones, leads us to love. And that is the essence of Paul's writings. We see in the first epistle of Timothy, he says, now the end of the commandment. So the whole purpose of the law, the whole purpose of the commandment is charity. That's the whole purpose. It's love. Out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. And so, what is your and mine approach to this hope that we have? Probably the greatest sin is our unwillingness to spend time in His Word, the Word that gives us hope, the Word that Paul says we will learn from. We learned from His Word this morning of a God who we see had brought famine on the land because His people, who knew better, whose fathers were in slavery in Egypt, they completely disregarded the laws of God. And God sent a famine on the land. Every famine that God had sent upon the land was always an act of judgment from God. Every famine was judgment. It was justice, the justice of God. And it was right. It was right. And it's something that you and I cannot even understand. We don't understand what when a tsunami hits and thousands of people perish, when volcanoes erupt and thousands perish. We don't understand those things. Neither should we try to, but we have to know that in everything that God does, there is mercy and justice all mingled together perfectly. Perfectly. Not for you and I to question, but to glorify Him. Because one thing that does not go away, if our knowledge of His Scripture increases, our hope in Him remains firm. And so we are being really taught by Apostle Paul here is read your Bible. Read your Bible. That doesn't mean once a week in church. That doesn't mean twice a week. Read your Bible. You know, how many, if we look at even the beginning of these verses, it says, we then, Paul is saying, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Who are you? Are you strong or are you weak? Which one do we identify with right now as we read these verses? Am I strong or am I weak? But look at the example that Paul gives here. It's unbelievable. And it's not an example of what Christ's life was to look on that. Of course, his life was an example. But what Paul is turning to for us to look, it says, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, as he's quoting the Psalms, he says, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Your reproaches and my reproaches fell upon him. That's the example. That's the example that Christ, in a completely selfless love for you and me, my reproaches fell upon him. That's the example. Are you strong or are you weak? And then he says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's a sin. It's the greatest sin you and I can commit is to ignore His Word. Because that will lead me into a cooling. We are on fire when we read God's Word. When we read these examples of holy men of old, we read of their mistakes. We read of the mistake that had taken place. But God, through all of that, is still working. He doesn't cast us aside. He still will work in whatever mess we get ourselves into to extract us from those problems that our lack of faith takes us into. But do we know His Word? Do we care to know it? Or do we just... I know enough. You don't know anything. If you think you know enough, you know nothing. We should never take that approach to Scripture. I know it. How many times does Scripture teach us to examine ourselves? And you know, when it talks here about strong bearing the weak, and you know, how many times do we even permit someone to come and tell us of a weakness that we might have. We reject that with oftentimes a viciousness that doesn't belong in the heart where Jesus lives. Now, what do we do with a paper that we have written and it needs to be turned in? We gladly give it to someone. Proofread this for me, please. And it's proofread, and we look, and it's looked at line by line. You made a mistake here. You made a mistake here. You made a mistake here. Thank you. Corrected those mistakes, and you turn in your paper. That's for a grade. But are we willing to be proofread? Are we willing to be our lives where eternity weighs upon the life that you live and the life that I live? Am I willing to have it proofread? Or don't you dare see that I missed a mark in anything? Look at yourself, and you know, we get defensive. You know why we do that? Because we don't know the scripture. That's it. So our sin was we don't know the scripture. Because if we know the scripture, we have a hope that brings us joy, that brings us endurance, that brings us love, and we would never act that way. Never. So where are we? He's talking about here. He says, now listen to who he again is telling us. He's now the God of patience. Who? The God of patience. The brother in the prayer this morning, he really brought out a lot about God and his might. The Almighty God and our Creator and the everlasting Father, and we think about God's might. And then God's patience. He says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. The God of patience, meaning God is patiently waiting for you and for me to become like this. Who is? The Almighty God. And he says, wherefore receive ye one another, and he gives an example, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. The reproaches of my reproaches, your reproaches, were his reproaches. And then he received us. Why did he receive us? Because we read of the hope. We learned of his word. We learned in his word, in the Old Testament, throughout the scripture. We read of a hope. All of the scripture was pointing to the culmination, to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And it gives us a hope, and that hope brings about a joy and an endurance and a faith and a love. He says that you would with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear ones, we oftentimes, if we look at examples in the scripture, we will learn much. We will learn much. Because we oftentimes find ourselves living below the clouds, where it's constantly stormy and rainy, and everything is just going wrong, and just always a storm in my life, and just always something, just poor me. We can never seem to rise to the ground that Christ wants to take us, above the clouds, where there's sunshine and the rays of hope are visible to us, because we know his word. We read his word. We love his word. We grow in his word. We learn from him. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Do you care to learn? Do I care to learn? that we, through patience and comfort of the Scripture, how's the Scripture going to give me comfort? How's the Scripture going to teach me? How's the Scripture going to give me patience if I don't read it? It's a sin. Don't think you can go 6 days without reading the Bible and think you didn't sin. It's sin. Why? I don't care about the Word. I don't care about Him. Paul is calling us to follow Christ's example, that we are to uplift one another in the same way that Christ did, in a completely, in an entirely selfless love, where it doesn't matter about my good. I will build you up for your edification, for your good, because I love you. That's the ultimate goal of Paul as he writes his epistles. He wants to bring us to this high plane of living in Christ, with Him as the example. The Lord Jesus Christ is the example of how we ought to care about one another. Gone is gossip. Gone is becoming better, or showing ourselves better than one another, or pride to be lifted up in any way in our lives of whatever we might pursue. What is your pursuit? What is my pursuit? Are they the temporal things? Are our pursuits the, is our hope, you know, if our hope is, you know, think about what happens when I get a big raise at work. Oh, now I can what? Move ahead. I have a hope in this. Now my future is a little bit clearer to me. What a fool. The Bible calls me a fool. I'm putting a hope in that which is temporal, not lasting, and I may die tomorrow. And I'm putting my hope in that. That's not where my hope needs to be. Nothing that is seen can have a hope that I would put my trust in. It's all in Christ Jesus, who bore the reproaches that were mine. They belonged to me. And He took them. And He says, use that. Paul says now, he didn't use the example of Christ washing the disciples' feet. No, he didn't say it. He said, the reproaches that were yours were His. He took them. That's the example. Now, dear ones, are you strong or are you weak? Are you able to bear the infirmities of the weak? And what is a weak brother? In the previous chapter, he talks about he that is weak in faith, meaning this isn't about legalism, because a legalist is going to put his trust in that which he does. This is a brother who is acting in faith, who's acting in faith. He says, him that is weak in the faith, that means there's faith involved. Anything that is done outside of faith is sin. Everything that is done out of faith, without faith, is sin. This isn't sin. This is about liberties. This is about things that the Apostle Paul lays out here in of forbearance, of mutual forbearance, or to have one for another. In chapter 12, Paul says, he encourages us to rejoice in hope. To rejoice in hope. To be patient in tribulation. and continue instant in prayer. And later he says, recompense to no man evil for evil. Recompense no man evil for evil. How many times do we think a poor thought of a brother or sister? Let's even go further to someone who is deserving of justice. You know, the Lord tells us, avenge not yourselves. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Now, if I have looked through the scriptures, and I love to read, and I love to learn, and I love the Lord, and he gives me hope, because that's what the scripture is meant for. And as if I'm learning this, the joy that sets in, the endurance and the love that sets in, I would never avenge myself. Because I know that everything done is going to be avenged one of two ways. If someone repents of the wrong they've done, it is avenged on the cross. And if there is no repentance, it is avenged in hell. As we read and we have a hope, and this hope grows into a love, I would never desire justice of hell or the vengeance of hell. No. Repent. And let it be on the cross. And so you and I, brothers and sisters, as we go through our lives, we will harm one another. We have. Don't let that sit. Repent of it. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He does not remember things the way you and I do, or forget things the way you and I do. He can't. We need to repent so that it would be avenged on the cross. So that is no longer going to be remembered by God. And I will learn that through the scriptures when I read of David, when I read of Abraham and how, you know, Abraham went to Egypt too. He made a bad decision. And so when we read of scriptures of men of old who had failed, but we see repentance, we see growth, we see a turning to God, and then we see examples of those who don't. We see the example of those who put their hope in those things which are temporal. Eat, sleep, rejoice, be merry. You worked hard all your life, enjoy the fruits of your labor. You fool, God says. Your life is required tonight. Whose will this be now? We have examples. Do we learn from them? Do we learn from them, or do we just cast them aside? And so if God Almighty, the everlasting to everlasting, as we heard this morning, is patient with us, how much more we should be one toward another. Because hope builds that up. Hope gives us patience. You would never defraud a brother. You would never do anything wrong to a brother. No, because did Christ do that to you? No, my reproaches became his. That's the love. That's the example that we are to support one another. Meaning, when a brother is weak in faith, there's faith involved. He's not trying to be justified through his adherence to something. No, he believes that this is glorifying to God. That's not sin. But we are to bear one another's infirmities, not for ourselves, for the edifying of the other. And so when our love grows, we'd be willing to be spent so that my brother would be edified. And in that, God is glorified. So that ye may with one mind. Who? All of us. Because if you have the mind of Christ, and you have the mind of Christ, and I have the mind of Christ, we have one mind. And so that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So wherefore receive one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. May he bless his word upon our hearts, and truly may we look into our own hearts. Let's not be upset. You know, we know how to make a promise. If someone comes to us in love, you know, how many times do we not go to someone in love because we know they're almost ready going to spit on us? They're going to be so upset. There's something drastically wrong there. We've put the scriptures aside. They're somewhere in a corner. We're not learning from them. When we don't learn from them, our love grows cold. The greatest sin is the putting of the scripture away, because you can't grow without it. And if it comes a time that there is no word for us, that we can't have it in our physical hands, it's written upon the tables of our hearts. We loved it. We've memorized it. The stories are there. They're coming to our minds and our hearts. And so we have to spend time in the word. Brothers and sisters and dear friends, therein is all of our hope. Everything, our life, is there. May he bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.